We are honored tonight to have Derek Wallace, who's going to be coming and sharing God's Word with us. Derek and Dana are staff pastors here at Grace House, and their primary area of responsibility is what we call the 40-somethings and above. And they are just doing an incredible job. Pastor well, lead well, and are developing relationships with so many of you, and we love them dearly. And so, Derek, I know you've got a word for us tonight from the Lord. So come on up, brother. Would you join me in welcoming Pastor Derek?
Love you. All right, are we on? I'm going to steal Andrew's stool here. It's a Wednesday night. We can be a little more casual, can't we? I'm ringing just a little bit here. There we go. I think that got us. Well, you know, God has a sense of humor. How many of you ever really have just caught God's sense of humor, or he shared something humorous with you? The last few days have been a bit of a whirlwind, and I won't go into all the details, but a lot of moments of just taking care of others and my parents in particular, and being blessed to be and been honored to be able to do that. And so today I got with the Lord and I was just like, Lord, there's so many ways and so many avenues. When you have a pastor who's used to sharing almost every Sunday and then for the last 5-6 years hadn't shared much at all, there's a lot pent up, brother. So I was really searching the Lord, and I was like, you know, there's so many areas and avenues and things, Lord, that you've laid on my heart over the last few months, and what's pertinent? What's on your heart? And the goodness and the love of God is so amazing, isn't he? So I want you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians. I might need to find it to remember where I'm going. Ephesians chapter 3. Where Paul's praying for the Ephesians for spiritual strength. So what God kind of laid on my heart was something that I have probably struggled with for years, and that's the love of God. It isn't that I don't believe God loves me. It's that I don't know how to love like God loves. I can't fathom how a love so great that he gave his only begotten son for me, and I'm supposed to be like Christ. To love in that manner. And so I was like, Lord, this is not even fair. This is not even funny. And I believe the Lord got a chuckle out of it. But I wrestled with the Lord and I kept saying, okay, God, if you're going to approach a subject this vast, where do you want to start? Because I'm all questions and no answers. And the Lord led me to this passage here where Paul's praying. And I want you to grasp for a moment just what Paul is saying in this passage. But before we do that, I was standing over there a few minutes ago and we were praising and worshiping. Every song was about love. So I said, Lord, it's just like you. You set everything up. You orchestrate everything. Nobody knows what's going on, but you do by the Spirit. And the Lord whispered to me and he said, because I'm like, oh Lord, I think I'm ready. I think I'm ready. But I'm not ready because this is huge. And the Lord said, I'm ready. And I chuckled and I laughed. Because in my mind, what I envisioned was the Lord standing at the starting line and he's like, I'm ready. Let's go. And he said, I've already been here. I've already been preparing what's going to happen. Have you heard the songs? Isn't God good? Isn't he good? But the topic tonight is the love of God. And as Paul's praying, he said, for this reason I bow my knees in verse 14 of chapter 3 in Ephesians, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory. Now, he's not talking about the riches of their glory. He's not talking about their earthly inheritance. He's talking about his glory. From the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. You know, we think of power, and rightfully so, we think of dunamis. Think of the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit. And that resurrection power of the Holy Spirit is life-changing. It takes those who are in death and brings them to life. Those who are in the darkness and brings them to light. So when I hear the word power, I automatically think Acts chapter 2 and dunamis. But in this passage, Paul says something that I have over the years found very, very interesting. He says that you being rooted and grounded in love, so Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, so with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that you, the power is so that you may be rooted and grounded in love. So the Holy Spirit is moving in a different way in the power, in that resurrection power, so that you and I may be firmly rooted and grounded in love. And in that, that we may have strength to comprehend. Now, this is the part that really blows me away with all the saints. What is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth? And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. The mysteries of God are unfathomable. You cannot, they're infinite, right? I mean, when we get to heaven, I often, as I was younger, I pictured heaven. We're going to go up there and we're all going to sing and have a great time, and this is what we're going to do for eternity. But I'm of the persuasion now that I believe you're not going to be God, even though you're like God. You're always going to be learning. There's always going to be a hunger and a desire for more of the knowledge of God and who he is. And throughout eternity, he's going to be revealing one aspect of himself to another. If you think about it, for now, even going from glory to glory, the glory to glory is God revealing a different aspect of himself to his church in different ways. So you and I, even as individuals, see him in a different light. Today, I had that experience in my living room where I was just, God overwhelmed me with his goodness. He overwhelmed me with his love. And all I could do was weep and cry like a baby and say, Lord, I am unworthy. I am unworthy. As Isaiah said, Lord, I am unworthy. I said, God, send me. Send me wherever you want to go, whatever you want to do, Lord. But then to fathom, he gives me a topic like love, his love. And then this passage by Paul. And as I looked at this passage, and I have it all underlined and highlighted, and I've preached it several times because I'm trying to explore the depths of it. You ever just have a passage, as you, some of you pastors are in here, you just keep going back to it. It's just something there that you keep mining and you keep digging. And the more you dig, the more you get. It's a bottomless pit. The love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. So we're supposed to know the height, width, depth, and breadth of something that surpasses knowledge. That's because it's not knowledge that we're after. It's not to know about something, but it's to have the Lord reveal himself to you in ways that take you from glory to glory. And as the love of God reveals itself to you, folks, the love of God is who God is. We say God is love. It is the very essence of who God is. We say God is good. It is the very essence of who God is. So as I begin to ponder and begin to, and you gotta imagine this in my living room, it all happened in an instant. It all happened where God just kind of downloaded something. And then he goes on to say about maybe filled with the fullness of God in this passage. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. You know, the beauty of the Lord is he says, this is what I want you to focus on. This is what I want you to do. This is where I want you to come to. A love that surpasses knowledge, surpasses understanding. I want you to explore the height, width, depth, and breadth of it. I picture it like this. We know the ocean is vast, even though I've never been to the bottom, but I've seen pictures. I've used to watch the explorers, National Geographic, Jacques Cousteau, I think his name was, and the mysteries of the sea and all the discoveries. I mean, in all of these things, God said, man, inhabit the earth. This is yours. You have dominion over it. He revealed all these nuggets and these beautiful things and all these mysteries. But the greatest mystery is his love for us. I believe it even astounds the angels. I don't even believe they can comprehend and understand. Because we who were made in the image of God, who then turned our backs on the Lord and said, we're going to be our own God. We're going to do our own thing. And even to this day, that's where we err. That's where we sin. But God says, I still love you. So the moment in that living room today was an overwhelming presence of the love of God in a way that I saw all my wrongs, but in an instant they were all gone. You know, God just didn't forgive me for the sins that I have committed. His blood was shed for the ones I'm going to make a mistake again and commit again. But the love of God, Paul says, compels me to preach the gospel. The love of God compels me to say, Lord, what you got today? The love of God compels me to seek him out. And he says, those who seek my face will find it. I actually started off today just with the fruit of the Spirit. I call the fruit of the Spirit the DNA of God. I don't know if I got that term somewhere else. I've called it that for years. I may have read it. I don't know. But if you want to know who God is, you read Galatians 5:22. And it says the fruit of the Spirit is what? What's the first fruit?
Love.
The first fruit is love. And so, if we go to that first fruit, and you begin to explore the depth of love, and God's love for you, I can't get over John 3:16. I still marvel at John 3:16. For God so loved the world. For God so loved you and me, the ones who often walk away from him, the ones who often seek out other things other than him, the ones who are unfaithful. Knowing all of that, before he created us, before he formed us in our mother's womb, he said, I'm going to send you, son. And I want you to lay down your life. Because they're going to be your inheritance. We were created for the Son. Did you know that? We're the bride of Christ. The Father wanted many sons and daughters. That's why we're created. He wanted many sons and daughters. And He groomed us and He's raising us up in His image and likeness so that we're going to stand at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we're going to be presented spotless and without wrinkle. You know, the good news about God is when He begins to do a work, He does it. There's nothing too difficult. He can do far more exceedingly and abundantly above what you think and what you believe. The problem with us often is we think and believe in this realm. But that realm, nothing's impossible. There's nothing impossible for Him on this realm. He can heal. He can speak. He can take you from death to life. And He has. All of heaven rejoices when one sinner comes to repentance. Had a pastor friend of mine share with me Tuesday. He said Monday, he said, I got to do the good stuff. And as a pastor, you know what that means a lot of times. There's a lot of negativity that surrounds you. There's a lot of attacks. You know, it's not even anything new to pastors. You experience too. You experience the attacks, the lies of the enemy. You know, as Pastor Eddie preached Sunday, the most important thing I think for the church today is to understand who we are. If we understand who we are, we won't be tossed and fro by every wind of doctrine. They said, I got to lead somebody to the Lord. All of heaven rejoices. Amen. Do you know that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Amen. The love of God is unsearchable. Amen. But yet Paul says, I pray that you know this. Amen. Sometimes I look at that prayer and I think, Paul, my prayers are small. I mean, he's praying that we're going to know something that we can't even understand or comprehend from this perspective. But he wants us to know it in all dimensions. And he wants us then, because if you know this thing called the love of God, what's the result? You will then walk in the fullness of God. Because in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. You know what crucifies the flesh? Love. It's not my self-will. It's love. When I understand the love of God for me, I'm willing to let the Holy Spirit have control. Because no longer do I think like Adam and Eve did when the serpent whispered to them, God's withholding something from you. Come on, saints, you've heard that lie. Look at the pleasure that you could be having. He doesn't have any new lies, saints. We've heard them all. We've seen them all. We've experienced them all. Stop believing it. And believe that God is love. And when we accept that unfathomable truth, that He loves you in spite of all your flaws and all your sins. Do you know that you're stamped and marked by the Holy Spirit? And you know what the mark, have you ever heard someone use the expression about their someone else's child? Well, he marked him. He looks just like him. He's a spitting image. He couldn't deny him if he tried. Read the fruit of the Spirit. God has marked you. I used to want to choose which fruit I exhibited the most. But you know, that's not plural. That's one fruit. That's one fruit. All of those should be manifesting in us. I think sometimes as charismatic believers, we get carried away with the manifestation of the Spirit. And please hear me. I'm all in. I'm all in. Healing, miracles, words of knowledge, wisdom, prophecies. I am all in. As a little Baptist boy, grew up, didn't know what it was about. Got filled with the Spirit. I'm all in. God, whatever you got, I want. But the evidence that we're His is that we carry His DNA. And His DNA is the fruit of the Spirit to me. The greatest evidence that I am His is when I walk in that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. And I can only walk in that when I surrender to the Holy Spirit. As I began a long time ago to study the Beatitudes, I said, Lord, what you teach is impossible. What? Like the Pharisees. What you teach is impossible. Just the Beatitudes alone, when you started, Lord, it's impossible. And that's where I began to wrestle. And I began to say, God, there's got to be something more, because what you're telling me and what I'm doing and what I'm struggling with is not where I should be. And I, in myself, even knowing what I know and growing up in church, Lord, there's something that's got you. You got to do something, because what I try and want to do, as Paul said, I don't do. But in that moment when I realized that the Holy Spirit does it through me, for me, that in Christ I am a new creation, that I no longer struggle with my identity because I know who my Father is. No longer does the enemy come to me and tell me the same lies he used to, because as a kid I'm gullible, but I'm not gullible anymore. Because I know who my Father is. The secret to walking in the Holy Spirit, I believe, is knowing the love of God. It compelled Paul to preach the gospel. How much more does it not compel us to follow after him? Even as a young man, there was something about this book that drew me. I mean, I took it apart from cover to cover to cover to cover. I mean, I went to church. We were so religious, we went to church even when church wasn't happening and the doors weren't open. I mean, my dad wasn't saved, but my mother was, and she was making up for my dad. If there was something to volunteer, my mother was volunteering. There was something to do at the church, my mother was there. I only ever remember one time I ever asked, well, why does dad not have to go? Why do I have to go if dad don't have to go? She said, I don't have charge of your father, but I have charge of you. You go and don't ask that question ever again. I never did either. But in all of that, God was drawing and wooing and taking a little boy and taking a little teenage boy and saying, come, go with me. I want to teach you about my love. Getting back to the visual of an ocean, I have kind of pictured it like this. You ever seen a picture where there's a beach. And there's this lagoon, and this beautiful blue lagoon, and the water's crystal clear. And they get down in there, they're diving, and they see all kind of wonderful, beautiful colors. And there's all kind of things there, fish that you've never seen before. The love of God's like that. The water's warm. The water's nice. The water is perfect. Come on in. Dive deep. Take a big drink. As you dive, as you swim, you learn that you not only can dive and swim in it, but you can breathe in it. You have the ability to stay in it. Because it gives you the peace. It brings the kindness. How many of you ever just been having a rough day? Your attitude's rotten and you know it. You come into church and the Spirit of God begins to move. And all of a sudden you're like, hey, how's everybody doing? Your countenance changes. The love of God changes you. It changes me. The love of God is an atmosphere that allows the Holy Spirit to manifest the DNA of God in you, in me. It is the springboard. It is the soil for which those things grow deeper and deeper until we look like our daddy. And they say, he marked him. He marked him. I don't know about you, but I want him to say, he marked him. What did they say about the disciples? Uneducated. They've been with Jesus. And what did they say? You will be known by your love for one another. The love of God covers a multitude of sin. As we sit in church, I mean, I can look at Matt and tell you a few things about him. And sometimes we can get picky with one another, can't we? Well, he looked at me kind of funny. He just looks funny. Love you, Matt. You know, when the love of God comes in, and when we're walking in the love, those little imperfections don't matter because God's not looking at those. We're looking with a new set of eyes. God gave me the privilege, probably 2 years ago, I was standing in this congregation about five rows back, and I saw something I had never seen before. I had my eyes shut, and as I opened them, I saw in the spirit every person standing as a spirit. You were a light. Basically, you were a light. There was no darkness in anyone. It was the light of Christ shining forth through you. And God said, this is how my love sees you and makes you. You are a new creation. I want you to know tonight as you leave here that you are greatly loved. As John's called the beloved, you are the beloved. You are the beloved. And as Paul prayed, Lord, may we dive in deep tonight. And may we experience your love in ways, God, that we never have this week. May you open our mind and our eyes and our heart that we can see the little things, God, the flowers. The landscape and the canvas that you painted for us every day. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Nothing compares. Nothing compares to his love. Andrew, if you'd come play and we'd close now. I just want you to stand with me. We can play one of the songs we played, but I just want you to invite the Lord to whisper to you tonight how much He loves you. And sometimes they'll start like this. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. You know, I've learned one thing. The change of my atmosphere and my attitude comes when I begin to declare and decree my heart toward God, whether I feel that or not. God, I love you. Thank you, God, for loving me. Tonight, Lord, I just ask that you will whisper or you'll shout. You'll bring joy. You'll bring laughter. You'll bring love. And we will scratch the surface of how much you love us. But we'll be hungry to dive deeper and deeper and deeper. Just release that love right now, Holy Spirit. Release that love right now. Just sweep through this room right now. Refresh us, renew us. We just thank you, Lord. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're walking through, just hand it to the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus.
Sandra continues playing. Let's close your eyes for another moment or two. And now the scripture is really clear about this. The Lord said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. So He is here. He is here with us. He is here in us through His Spirit. Do you believe that? He is here. And He is love. And I so agree with Pastor Derek. We need that like nothing else. By faith, receive that love right now. No matter how you may feel about yourself, just step on over by faith. Regardless of how you may feel in this moment, regardless of what the people around you may have even said to you that would indicate that you're not very lovable, God says He loves you, and there's not much you can do about that, but I would strongly encourage you, to believe it and receive it right now by faith. Just you and the Lord. Let Him love on you. And by faith, could you pray this? Could you say this? Lord, by faith, I declare over my life, I am loved. You love me. I am loved. Now, look here a moment. The scripture says that love never fails. So if you believe that, there's a power inherent in it. It'll never fail you. You'll have what you need, any circumstance, any situation. You never had to feel like you're alone. You never had to feel unloved. That's been settled through the cross. God loves you. Great word, brother. Thank you. We got to hear that word and just sense the presence of love as you preached it and the way you preached it. So thank you, Derek. We love you. Thank you for praying and preparing that and sharing it with us here tonight. And we appreciate all of you being here on this Wednesday evening. We'll be meeting back here on Sunday morning. We have an 8 o'clock outdoor service, 9 o'clock and 10:30 services here Sunday morning. And so we encourage you all to come back this coming Sunday. And we're excited about what's happening in our midst, or as we say here in the South, amongst us. Amen. Declare this with me. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I have been made to be an overcomer. Greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who is my strength. My Lord has said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to everyone. So when I leave here tonight, I'm going to be an agent of change through the love of Jesus Christ to this world. Now in Jesus' name, you go. Be blessed and be a blessing. Thank you for being here tonight. If anyone needs prayer, just come on up into the altar area. We'll be happy to minister to you, pray with you. Blessings.